It's week 10, and we got to go over the 10 biggest games, and we got to make some picks.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, Winning Cures Everything. It's a college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers, at GaryWCE on all the different socials. Most active on X, you can reach out to me there. Or, if you like to do it old school, Gary@WinningCuresEverything.com is where to reach out. As always, go check out buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. And subscribe to the video, etc. Going to tell you the records, not great on these big games thus far this season. 41-48-1 after a 5-5 week 9. The other games, I do an extra video. And of course, if you haven't already, check out my midweek picks as well. But I went 12-14 in other games last week. 98-93 against the spread in those. Overall, 139-141-1. And if you want to make cracks about it in the comments, you are welcome to. Just don't spam the comments, or YouTube will block it. I had a couple of guys do that already. Yes, some of the picks suck. Some of them don't. It is what it is. It is what it is. Let's not waste time. Let's get into it. Game number one, Oklahoma goes to Tennessee. Tennessee a 2.5 to 3 point favorite, depending on the book. Total of 56.5 or 57 on this. And we're looking at the numbers. We're not going to worry about trends this week. We're just going to get right into it because I had to officiate a wedding on Saturday, and I've been traveling, and there's been a lot going on. So let's get into it. Tennessee, I have favored by 1 point based on the stats projected spread. Power rating, I have Tennessee by 0.2, and this has home field included. Over the last 4 weeks, I have Oklahoma by 5. My stats appreciate the Oklahoma defense. However, Oklahoma's defense, even with number one in defensive success rate, they dropped one whole ranking in passing success rate allowed. They dropped from number one in defensive PPA allowed per drive to number 5 just based on that Ole Miss game. If you think about it, Oklahoma had not dealt with a passing attack the caliber of Ole Miss's until they faced Ole Miss. They had Ole Miss at home. They had them in weather, and they still could not stop them. You can throw the ball on Oklahoma. Tennessee, if you look, number 15 in PPA per pass, number 12 in yards per pass attempt, number 16 in QBR. Biggest question here is havoc rate. Will Tennessee allow them to get after the quarterback? I think they will some, because Oklahoma is number 1 in havoc rate. Tennessee is number 12 in havoc allowed. So the offensive line is good enough to give Aguilar some time to throw in the pocket. Now, as far as Tennessee's defense against this offense, Oklahoma, you know, Mateer, if he gets down there, they're number 42, so scoring opportunities. That is when you get a first down inside your opponent's 40-yard line. Number 42 in the country in points per scoring opportunity. So, Oklahoma pretty good at finishing drives. Tennessee's defense, number 131. 5 spots from the very bottom. So, if they allow you to get into scoring position, Oklahoma is going to score. Right? Tennessee will allow that to happen. Tennessee, number 125 in red zone conversion percentage. They are dead last in the country in defensive red zone touchdown rate. Oklahoma is number 1 in offensive red zone conversion percentage. And they're number 23 in offensive red zone touchdown rate. So I think Oklahoma's going to score as well. Tennessee might have more trouble scoring on Oklahoma, than Oklahoma does on Tennessee. The question here is, how healthy is John Mateer's hand? Can they throw the football? Because that is the weakness of the Tennessee defense. If Oklahoma's going to try and run it, they're number 108 in yards per rush. Tennessee's defense, number 29 in yards allowed per rush. They're number 51 in rushing success rate. Well, Tennessee is number 112 in rushing success allowed. Offensive line yards, Oklahoma number 86, Tennessee's defense number 51. Oklahoma's offense number 91 in stuff rate allowed, Tennessee's defense number 35. So I think Tennessee will be able to bottle them up as far as, you know, running the football. You look at the five factors rank, Oklahoma number 8, Tennessee number 20, Utah's in talent, five factors plus talent, where it's weighted, Oklahoma number 11, Tennessee number 19. Both of these are really good first half teams. Tennessee, not very good in the second half. Both are 3-4 against the spread. Both are 6-2 straight up. I look at this, and I think Neyland at night should be worth more than I'm giving it, and I don't trust Oklahoma to be able to throw the football here, which I know is kind of crazy. But this thing was 3.5. It's come back. I'm going to take Tennessee. Give me the Vols, minus 2.5. The offense is clicking right now. They look pretty good. Yeah, I'll go Vols, minus 2.5. Game number 2, Penn State headed to Columbus to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State currently a 20.5 point favorite, total of 43.5 on this one. And my stats projected spread has Ohio State by 22. Power rating has Ohio State by 17.4. And my last 4 weeks has Ohio State by 21.56. Kind of curious. I mean, it's right around the correct number. This was supposed to be a monster game. And instead, well, I mean, you see, Penn State number 99 in ESPN strength of schedule. Ohio State number 3. Very interesting. I don't know that there is anything that I can say here that would make you want to take Penn State, right? Even as bad as Penn State has looked, they are 3-4. They are coming off of a bye. They are 1-6 against the spread. Ohio State 7-0, and they are 6-0 against the spread against FBS competition. FCS games don't count, or potentially they pushed on one of them. But either way, they are covering numbers at a pretty outrageous margin. There's nothing on here that really gives Penn State any kind of an advantage. Both of these teams, you look at pace of play, Ohio State is number 135. Penn State likes to play a little bit faster at 51. Neither is super explosive on offense. Both of them are great at not allowing explosive plays on defense. Both are in the top 12 as far as talent is concerned, so maybe Penn State can get off the mat and keep this within 20.5. Penn State finally covered a game against Iowa, and they still lost the game. Is this one of those games where the Penn State defense shows up, they get a bye week, they gather their emotions, everybody kind of gets together, because the last bye week that they had was right before the Oregon game. Do we look at it as, okay, well, they got a bye week, they really focused this week? I mean, you were already going to be really focused anyway. So, neither team really turns it over that much. The Penn State defense is not good against the run. Well, Ohio State isn't the best rushing team, but Ohio State is fantastic on standard downs. I mean, they are number 1 in the country in standard down success rate. Penn State 64. I think Ohio State's going to keep the ball a lot, but I also don't know how Penn State scores against this Ohio State defense. I still don't know much about this backup quarterback, or I guess starting quarterback now that Drew Aller is gone. So, I don't like the number, but also Ohio State has not failed to cover, or has not, what's the word I'm looking for? Ohio State's covered every game. I think they're going to do the same thing here. Give me the Buckeyes, minus 20 and a half. I know that sounds insane, but I'll roll with the number here. I think they can kind of name their score because I don't trust Penn State to be able to score here.
Are you tired of sore knees or joints slowing you down? Ghost Sleeves uses built-in kinesiology tape technology to give you support, reduce pain, and help you recover faster. Use code WCE for 15% off over at ghostsleeves.com.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel, and of course, jump in the comments. Leave your picks in the comments. I want to know what you're taking on these games before anybody decides to bash my picks. I'm just going with what I'm feeling here. I'm going with what the numbers say. We'll see what happens. Game number three, Miami goes to Dallas. They're going to take on SMU. Yes, the same SMU that lost at Wake Forest last week. Turnover fest. Absolute turnover fest. Miami right now an 11.5 to 12-point favorite, depending on the book. Total of 50.5. That number has not moved. My projected total here is 54.5 on this. Power rating, I've got Miami by 9.5. Stats projected spread, I've got Miami by 10. Last 4 weeks, I have SMU by 6, and that includes the loss at Wake Forest. As far as PPA margin, predicted points added margin, SMU is number 22. Miami is number 10. But there's a huge difference as far as the strength of schedule. Miami number 14 in strength of schedule. SMU number 104. SMU is 2-5 against the spread. They have not covered some of these numbers very well. Miami is 5-2 against the spread. And yes, they were tied 7-7 with Stanford at halftime last week and just opened up a can in the second half. Miami does all of the intangibles really well. They are number 2 in raw 5-factors rank. SMU is number 65 in that metric. You start diving into some of these, like points per scoring opportunity. SMU's offense is number 78 in points per scoring opportunity. Only 3.85 points per drive that they get a first down inside the opponent's 40. Miami is number 32 there. On the other side, Miami is number 19 in points per scoring opportunity, 4.71 points per drive. SMU's defense is number 5. What exactly does that mean? They are number 3 in defensive red zone conversion percentage. They're number 6 in red zone touchdown rate given up. This is an interesting matchup because I think that SMU is pretty talented, but they're certainly not as talented as Miami, and Miami had to deal with Stanford last week. How much do they care about this game? Tough to get up and play on the road, but maybe it's easier to get up on the road than it is at home. We kind of saw that with Stanford. SMU, I think, was looking ahead last week. I think they're going to give Miami a ball game. And this defense is good enough that they can maybe hang in this game. Again, I know that they have not played the toughest strength of schedule. This offense for SMU is not very good. But I think the defense can hang a little bit. And if that is the case, I think they're going to hang here. I think they can keep it within the, let's see, what's the number now? It was at 10.5. It's all the way out to 12 in some spots. Give me the home team. Give me SMU plus 12. Game number 4, and I thought the game day would not go to this game. I thought they were going to go to a G5 game. I thought the game that's coming up next. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Cincinnati is going to Utah. Utah, more than a touchdown favorite, up to 8.5 or 9.5 on this one. 56.5 is our total. But man, my numbers certainly understand it, at least as far as the stats projected spread is concerned. Utah, I have favored by 7.79 on the stats projected spread. Power rating, I've got Utah by 5.5. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Cincinnati by 5.81. So, Let's talk about some of these numbers. Cincinnati's defense is not very good. And you can see the red everywhere. They're not good against the run. That is certainly not going to do well, or it's not going to bode well in a game like this. Number 79 in rushing success allowed, Utah's number 9. Number 115 in offensive line yards allowed, Utah's number 4. Number 123 in stuff rate, Utah number 11 in stuff rate allowed. This is just a huge mismatch. Now, on the other side, Cincinnati's offense is really good. I mean, you see up here number 5 in offensive success rate, number 10 passing, number 3 rushing. They are number 11 in yards per pass attempt, number 4 in QBR. Brendan Sorsby is doing a magnificent job. Going back to Utah being on offense, is the backup better than Devin Dampier? I mean, what they did to Colorado the other night was borderline criminal. I mean, just absolutely absurd. But the defense is really good, especially against the pass. Number 2 in PPA allowed per pass. Number 8 in yards allowed per pass attempt. Number 5 in QBR allowed. Looking at strength of schedule, Cincinnati's a little bit more difficult. Number 57 compared to Utah, number 72. This is an interesting spot because as far as five factors rank is concerned, these two teams are pretty similar. Cincy, number 16. Utah, number 23. The issue is that I think that Utah's defense can really take advantage of Cincinnati here. We saw this Cincinnati team not be able to do a whole lot against a team like Nebraska, who does not exactly have the strongest line of scrimmage play in the country, right? I think that's the easy way to put it. Cincy, not good as far as penalties per game. They are only number 3 in giveaways per game, but they're number 106 in generating turnovers. Utah, number 90 in generating turnovers, number 32 in giveaways per game. So we're not looking for turnovers to be a big part of this. Points per scoring opportunity, both teams pretty good at it. Both teams' defenses okay at defending it. This is going to be a war. And yet, I kind of get the feeling that something's going on as far as maybe an injury on the Cincinnati front. Like, why this line is moving the way that it is, I'm not totally sure. I mean, it's all the way up at 9.5 in some spots, 8.5 in other. None of my numbers can get to 8.5. But I think the fact that Utah can run the ball, and they run it almost 60% of the time, and if Dampier's back, they're going to be running it even more. I'll side with the home team. I think Salt Lake City is a really impressive spot. And I don't know that Cincinnati has played anybody that has a line of scrimmage play quite like this. I know it's a lot of points. I'm going with another favorite. Give me Utah at home, minus 8.5. That's the best number we can get. But I'll take the Utes with College Game Day in town.
Are you looking to catch your favorite team or concert live? Ticket Smarter makes buying tickets safe and simple. And with our promo codes, you save big. Use WCE10 for $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 for $20 off $300 or more. Grab your tickets now at Ticket Smarter.
If you like these stat sheets, you can get them every single week. Just join up over at buymeacoffee.com/winningcures, or you can check out the easier domain, bettingcfb.com. Go and check it out. Every single week, I post the numbers. I post these stat sheets along with our matchup comparison tool and a few other interesting stats, some nuggets, some my official plays, which have been garbage, but you can fade them. But I post them up every single week, so go and check it out. Buymeacoffee.com/winningcures. Game number 5, and this one is huge as far as the American Conference race. North Texas hosting Navy this week, and North Texas a 5.5 to 6.5 point favorite. Navy has played the easiest schedule in all of college football thus far. It's pretty wild. And there's a reason why they are undefeated. They are also only 2-5 against the spread. North Texas 6-2, so they are playing over their heads as far as the expected numbers are concerned every single week. My stats projected spread has North Texas by 5. My power rating has North Texas by 4.9. My last 4 weeks only has North Texas by 0.89. Part of that is the fact that North Texas absolutely got housed in the second half by USF. This is an interesting spot because this Navy defense is not very good, but the offense is awesome. Let's start with North Texas on offense. Number 24 in PPA per pass, Navy's defense is number 101. Passing explosiveness, North Texas number 20, Navy number 75, excuse me. Havoc rate, Navy can't get after the quarterback, number 96 there. North Texas is number 18 in havoc allowed. And as far as running the football, which North Texas does less than 47% of the time, 99th rush rate in the country, they are still pretty good at that. So if you try to do that, North Texas is number 40, Navy at number 83 in PPA allowed per rush. North Texas number 31 in rushing explosiveness, Navy number 91 in rushing explosiveness allowed. Something to pay attention to there. Points per scoring opportunity, North Texas is good. They're good at finishing drives. Navy number 78 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. I mean, the Navy defense is questionable, to say the least. Now, when Navy is on offense, massive advantage. Number one in PPA per rush, North Texas' defense, number 103. Number one in yards per rush, the North Texas defense, number 92. As far as rushing success rate, Navy number one, North Texas number 91. Offensive line yards, Navy number two, North Texas 103. I mean, this is a huge, huge advantage. Navy runs the ball the second most in the country, over 75% of the time, and they are fantastic at it. Here is the biggest question that I've got. Turnovers. Navy, number 22 in giveaways per game. They're number 41 in generating turnovers. North Texas is number 8 in generating turnovers, but they're number 72 in giveaways per game. And the biggest thing is that they fumble the ball a lot. Number 115 in fumbles lost per rush. The issue there is that they don't exactly run it very often. Remember, 47% of the time. They are number 18 in interceptions thrown per pass attempt. Navy is number 10 in fumbles gained per rushing attempt allowed. So long as North Texas doesn't run it a whole lot, Navy's probably going to be in a pretty good spot, I would imagine. Of course, Navy also number 91 in interceptions thrown per pass, and North Texas number 31 in interceptions gained per pass attempt. This is such an interesting game. Most people, I believe, would be all over North Texas in this spot. It was at 6.5. It's down to 5.5. Yeah, there's still a 6.5 out there. There is a world where North Texas absolutely goes ham on them. However, I also think that Navy could keep the football for a very, very long time and not give North Texas that many opportunities. We saw Army do this to them. North Texas went up 21-0. North Texas had to win in overtime, 42-35. I think that Navy can do some of the same stuff here. I think they can hold on to the football for a long time. I don't know that North Texas can stop that running attack. 6.5 feels like it might be too many. Give me Navy to keep this thing close and, you know, kind of start getting ready for the home stretch in AAC play. I will take the Midshipmen plus 6.5. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Oh, yes. Georgia and Florida in Jacksonville. And Georgia right now a 7-point, but well, excuse me. Georgia is a 7.5-point favorite with a total of 50.5. My stats projected spread has Georgia by exactly 7. My power rating has Georgia by 7.9, almost 8 points. The last 4 weeks of numbers have Florida favored by 1.25. That's interesting, right? Very, very interesting. Florida, of course, this will be their first game without Billy Napier. So I really have no idea what to expect here. No clue. Georgia, of course, fired up, going to be like usual. Number 44 in plays per game to Florida's number 108. Not a lot of plays. Florida's number 109 in pace. Georgia number 70. I mean, you're going strength on strength, weakness on weakness here. Florida's offense, number 83 in PPA per drive. Georgia's defense, number 71 in PPA allowed per drive. Georgia, not very good against the pass. They are pretty good against the run, though, which is really what Florida wants to do. I say it's what they want to do. That's where they tend to have the most success. Number 16 in rushing success rate. Georgia's defense is number 20. Florida throws the ball over 54% of the time. That's the 32nd most in the country, and yet they're number 110 in passing success rate. They have gotten significantly better. These are season-long numbers. So they've gotten better, you know, once they got the wide receiver back, once they got DJ Lagway, it's seemingly a little more healthy, etc. Florida number 1 in current strength of schedule, Georgia number 8. What can we expect out of an interim coach? And I don't know the answer to that. I mean, this is still two talented teams. Florida is number 21 in five-factor. That's raw five-factors rank. Georgia is number 11. Five-factors plus talent, Florida number 15, Georgia number 6. There's a reason this is only about a touchdown. I get the feeling, looking at this, excuse me, I get the feeling that Florida's going to have something different up their sleeve. They're going to play differently in this game. And, I mean, you can look at turnover margin if you want. Georgia only number 112 in takeaways per game. Florida's number 113 in giveaways per game. Georgia number 32 in giveaways per game. Florida number 61 in generating turnovers. Florida 51st in penalties per game. Georgia number 16. Both are in the top 15 in special teams efficiency. You know, both in the top 16 as far as on three overall talent rank. This is interesting. Georgia, you know, number 85 in defensive red zone touchdown rate. They're number 103 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. And it's not like Florida's great at any of these things. The Florida defense also pretty good. Number 28 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. Georgia is number 6 on offense. I think these two teams are fairly close, which is so odd to say. But I think with an interim coach, I think they can hang around here. So if I'm getting a hook, I'll take that. Give me Florida. Plus 7.5. We're looking for something wonky to happen this football season. Might start Halloween weekend. Give me the Gators plus 7.5.
Why struggle doing everything yourself? On Fiverr, you can hire professionals for just about anything. Marketing, editing, design, and more. Save time, get it done right. Click the link in the description to get started.
If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. There are times that I toss some audio-only stuff out there, and you're going to want to make sure that you listen to that. So subscribe to the pod. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe here as well. There's still over 50% of you that are not subscribed, but you're watching it basically every week. So hit that subscribe button for me. Hit the like button on the video and share it out. Tell your friends about it. All that good stuff. Vanderbilt goes to Austin to take on the Texas Longhorns, who are, it appears, going to be without Arch Manning. Texas a 1.5-point favorite right now, total of 44.5 to 45.5. And this is an interesting spot. Vanderbilt right now is 6-2 against the spread, 7-1 straight up. A&M, God bless. My apologies, Longhorns fan. Texas, 6-2 straight up, but only 2-6 against the spread. So they have underwhelmed as far as the expected numbers are concerned. Let's take a look at what we got here. Vandy at number 4 in special teams efficiency, Texas number 57. There is an advantage for Vanderbilt. Vandy, better on offense than Texas has been on defense. Vandy is number 8 in offensive success rate. And A&M, or I don't know why I keep doing that. I was talking earlier about Texas A&M. Texas's defense, they are number 24 in success rate. I swear I'm going to get it right before we're done. All right. Texas on offense, number 107 in success rate, number 91 in PPA per drive. Vandy's defense, number 54 in success rate, number 76 in defensive PPA allowed per drive. PPA, of course, predicted points added. It's very similar to expected points added. Basically, it assigns a point value to every play in a game. Just the way it goes. Vandy, number 133 in pace of play. Texas, number 52. So, is Texas going to be used to that? Because last week, they played one of the fastest teams in the country in Mississippi State and gave up a bunch of points and whatnot. This week, Vandy is going to go at a snail's pace. 1.954 plays per minute. They go slow. They go real, real slow. But they are incredibly efficient at doing that. So let's talk about when Vandy's on offense. Number one in passing success rate. Only number 26 in yards per pass attempt. Interesting spot here where they're number 7 in havoc rate allowed. Texas number 17 in havoc created. So if Texas can get after Diego Pavia a little bit, maybe force him to stay in the pocket and throw the ball, I'll be curious about that. Because I don't know that I necessarily trust him when he's not on the move. A lot of other teams have not been able to stop him. Missouri was able to stop him. They were able to slow him down. He's had less than 200 yards passing in 3 SEC games this year. And it's always been against the more talented, tougher competition, I guess you could say. Running the ball, I don't think they're going to have a lot of success doing that. This defense for Texas is serious. Vandy offensive line yards, number 22. The Texas defense, number 14. Stuff rate, Vandy number 43 in stuff rate allowed. Texas defense, number 16 in stuff rate. So you're looking at number 3 in yards per rush. Texas, number 2 in yards allowed per rush. As far as current strength of schedule, Texas, much more difficult, number 10. Vandy, number 33. Now what about when Vandy is on defense? Vandy not very good against the pass. I think that the kid that transferred over from Troy might be a better passer than Arch Manning. I know that might be hearsay. That might be sacrilege even. I think there is a world where this offense clicks better with the backup. We'll see. Now there is, obviously I think there's a chance that Arch plays. He's in protocol. We'll see what that means. Who knows? But I think there is a world where the backup quarterback for Texas is better. At least better suited for this offense for right now. And Vanderbilt, of course, has seen basically very little of this guy in the Texas offense. Because he was at Troy last year. And no, he wasn't great at Troy last year. But yeah. The public is going to be all over Vanderbilt here. It's the lovable dog story. Vandy as a dog always covers. And I have said many a times that I will never bet against Vanderbilt when they are a dog. But this thing is right around to pick 'em. And if I had to wager, funny to talk about that here, but if I had to wager, I would bet that this will either be a pick or Vandy favored by the time the game gets here. I'm going to go Texas. I think the Longhorns' defense is good enough to slow down Vanderbilt's offense. I think they're going to make them uncomfortable. Vandy going on the road to win at Texas is interesting to me. I don't believe that that's something that's going to happen here. Power rating, I've got Texas by 4. Stats projected spread, I've got Texas by 2.23. Over the last 4 weeks, I've got Texas by 9.15. They have significantly more athletes. And we saw with Alabama, when you have more athletes, I think Vanderbilt might be the more efficient team as opposed to Alabama. The name of the game is athletes. Do you got the players or not? And Vandy has a lot of very experienced players, and it's going to win them a lot of ball games. I don't think it's going to win them this one. Give me the Longhorns. Best number I can get right now is 1.5. I will roll with Texas. Game number 8, we got a big-time Big Ten battle, and this is the stuff that TV executive dreams were made of back in, like, the mid-90s, early 2000s, right? USC at Nebraska. I mean, you got the Midwest, you got the left coast. Perfect spot, right? And now, you got both of them playing pretty well. Both teams only 2 losses on the season. USC, I don't think Lane Kiffin has ever won a game where his team has had to travel through 2 time zones. Let me take that back. Purdue. They beat Purdue. Didn't cover. Is what it is. Current strength of schedule for both of these? Inside the top 75, but outside the top 69, so they're pretty equal when it comes to that. USC is favored, by the way, by 6.5 or 7, and we've got a total of 59.5 on this. I've got USC by 4.81. My power rating has USC by 3.0. And my last 4 weeks number has USC by more than a touchdown, almost 8 points. Nebraska a little bit better in the first half. Nebraska's number 8. Nope, I take that back. USC is number 8 in first half point margin, but Nebraska really good, number 18 in first half point margin. USC is actually better in the second half. These two teams are almost identical. I mean, it's pretty wild to think about. The one thing that USC is really not very good at is rushing success rate allowed, number 126, number 124 in offensive line yards. And they're not very good at defending the pass either, to be completely honest. Number 22 in PPA allowed per pass, but they are number 92 in yards allowed per pass attempt, number 92 in QBR. They are number 114 in pass rate, so teams pass on them a lot. And I think that's what Nebraska is going to do here. But Nebraska, I think if they were ever going to be able to run the football, this might be the spot. This might be it. USC, on the other hand, can do just about everything well. The rushing has dropped off just a touch since they had the injuries. That was a couple weeks ago. But all the travel, everything, you know, Nebraska's defense certainly not going to stop them from running the football, no matter who they got back there. You look at turnover margin, they're pretty equal. Penalties per game, Nebraska, a sizable advantage there, number 21 compared to number 73 for USC. But you're looking at overall talent rank of number 22 and number 19, Nebraska the 22, USC the 19. 5 factors rank, number 27 for Nebraska, number 26 for USC. This is an even game. So the fact that I'm getting a touchdown here, yeah, I think Matt Rhule and company are going to be fired up for this one. I'm getting a whole touchdown. Give me Nebraska, plus 7. I feel good about the Cornhuskers.
Stop guessing and start winning. Stochastic provides advanced data and strategies for DFS players and bettors built by pros who know how to find edges. Click the link in the description and sign up today.
Once again, buymeacoffee.com/winningcures and bettingcfb.com. I guess that should have been an or. Either one of those, you can get these stat sheets, you can get the matchup comparison tool, you can get all kinds of fun things over there. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year, and that is my own little haven for our nice little community that we got going on here. You guys are wonderful. If you want to reach out to me, you can do that at GaryWCE, or, of course, Gary@winningcureseverything.com, and I will do my best to respond to everybody because you guys like to talk football just like me. Sadly, there's only one of me, along with 3 kids and a job and girlfriend and blah, 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 everything else. So lots going on in the personal life. But, God, I love this sport. Game number 9, and we are talking Big 12. Now, typically, most people would not make this a big game, but to me it is because somebody is walking away from this with, count them, 4 losses. Iowa State is now 5-3. Arizona State is now 5-3, and I swear I still don't know how Arizona State beat Texas Tech. I don't get it, because this team has not been very good all year. Number 98 in offensive success rate, number 86 in defensive success rate. It's just been kind of all year. And we can say that, well, they lost 2 games that Jeff Sims was playing, and I get that, but even when Sam Levitt was in. It was just kind of, eh. And they played a tough strength of schedule, number 27. Iowa State is favored by 5.5 to 6.5 points, total of 50.5 on this. It opened Iowa State minus 3.5. Iowa State still dealing with some injuries. Arizona State also dealing with injuries. This is an interesting spot. Iowa State, looking at success rate, everything else, should have beaten BYU. Turnovers gave BYU chances, etc. BYU knows how to capitalize on stuff like that. Absolutely. My projected stat spread has Iowa State by 7.91. My power rating has Iowa State by 6. And based on success rate, PPA, you know, the scores over the past 4 weeks and blah, 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 I've got Iowa State by 17.83. That is such an astronomical number. Both of these coaches may be up for bigger jobs. How easy is it to sell to a prospective, you know, Dillingham maybe to LSU or Florida, Matt Campbell maybe to Penn State? How easy is it for that fan base, whichever one it might be, to take on a coach that has at least 4 losses on the resume this year going into, I mean, you want to hire in somebody that is super successful, this ain't going to be it, right? Arizona State, number 136 in special teams efficiency. Iowa State, number 35 there. Both teams outside the top 80 in net explosiveness. Turnover margin, Iowa State is number 72 in giveaways per game. Arizona State only number 9 as far as giveaways, but they're number 69 in generating turnovers. Iowa State 82 in that. Looking at who finishes drives here, Iowa State number 85 in points per scoring opportunity. Arizona State's defense is number 90. And on the other side of the ball, Arizona State number 100 in points per scoring opportunity. That's how many points do you typically score on a drive that gets inside the opponent 40-yard line. Arizona State number 100, the Iowa State defense number 48. Iowa State is number 45 in five factors rank. Arizona State is number 80. Just amazing. Just amazing to me. Iowa State, much better first half team. Arizona State, a much better second half team. And for those listening, Iowa State is number 50 in first half point margin. Arizona State is number 95. Second half point margin, Arizona State number 53, Iowa State number 77. I look at this and I think we could have some very interesting coaching matchups as far as the coordinators are concerned. Marcus Arroyo and Kenny Dillingham against John Heacock is going to be fun whenever Arizona State has the football. It feels like too many points. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think Iowa State going to get up off the mat. They are at home. Anytime that they are favored by more than 3.5 or so, they typically do pretty well. That's been a Matt Campbell thing for a long time. I think Iowa State handles business at home. I don't trust Arizona State right now. I will take the Cyclones at home. Best number I can get is 5.5. So Iowa State minus 5.5 in this one. Last game here, Air Force taking on Army at home. That's right. Air Force is at home in this one. And right now it's a pick 'em to Air Force minus 1.5, a total of 49.5 on this one. This is such an interesting game. We support the troops. That's why we're talking about this. I don't think very many other people are going to be talking about this as a big game this weekend. But to me, it absolutely is. This is a... both teams outside the top 100 as far as the current strength of schedule. I don't know that I have ever had a power rating that was just dead even. And Air Force and Army, I have it just dead even. My stats projected spread, I've got Air Force by 0.49. Over the last 4 weeks, I've got Army favored by 6.46, though. Air Force better on special teams. Air Force better on offense. Air Force's defense is terrible. Number 136 in PPA allowed per rush. Army is number 55. Number 132 in yards allowed per rush for Air Force. Army number 69 in that. Army number 61 in rushing success rate. That's about the only defensive metric that Air Force is at least okay in. They are number 47 there. These two teams know each other. Army not doing nearly as much passing as they did last year. They don't have Bryson Daly. It is what it is. They run the ball over 85% of the time. Teams run the ball on Air Force just a touch over 48%, or a little less than 49% of the time. You start looking at points per scoring opportunity, Air Force can't stop a nosebleed. But on the other side, Army number 91 in points allowed per scoring opportunity, Air Force is number 3. This Air Force offense is awesome, but they can't stop anybody. Army can't stop anybody, and a lot of times they stop themselves. Number 64 in giveaways per game. The issue for Air Force is they're number 112 in takeaways per game. Air Force has the better special teams. They are just about equal as far as penalties per game, and they turn the ball over less. I think in this instance, I got to go with the team that knows how to score. So in this ball game, I'm going to trust Air Force. Yeah, it's not that I don't like Army. They are 3-4 straight up, Air Force 2-5. Air Force needs a win. Troy Calhoun, man, what a coaching matchup, right? Jeff Munkin against Troy Calhoun. Two not super talented football teams. We all understand the recruiting restrictions and whatnot, but yeah, right now, best I can get is a pick. I'll take Air Force to win the game outright at home. All right, once again, of course, buymeacoffee.com/winningcures to get all the sheets and the matchup comparison tool and everything else. And don't forget to subscribe to the channel, like the video, jump in the comments. You guys know what to do. Let's hit the recap right quick. Oh, and the record on the season one more time, 139, 141, and 1. We pick a lot of games here. We're always going to pick a side one way or the other. Sometimes they're great. Sometimes they're not. You guys know what's up. Decide for yourself. All I do is provide some information. Tennessee, minus 2.5. Ohio State, minus 20.5. SMU, plus 12. Utah, minus 8.5. Navy, plus 6.5. Florida, plus 7.5. Texas, minus 1.5. Nebraska plus 7, Iowa State minus 5.5, and Air Force pick 'em over Army. That's going to wrap things up for the 10 biggest games of the weekend. You guys are always fantastic. Thank you for supporting what we're doing here. It's always fun to talk college football. I have a blast with it. Hopefully you guys do as well. Hopefully you do as well. All right, jump in the comments. Let's carry on the conversation over there, and we will have another video tomorrow, going over 18 more teams and 18 more games that we're going to pick. So go ahead and check that out. With that said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football and hopefully all of your tickets cash. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Subscribe, leave a review or comment. Follow at GaryWCE on X and check out the web store.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.